In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and a very warm yet slightly late welcome back to your 13th, 14th, or 15th favorite reality TV recap podcast. My name is Michelle.
I'm Robin.
And we are a monogamous, transatlantic, Anglo-American, cisgender, heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
If you are all of those things or none of those things, you are welcome to this very broad church slash podcast. We love everyone, which is the reason why we're not covering the rest of Toe right now.
Yeah, that is the main reason. It's hard when you have a rosy outlook on life and you're like, hey, just be kind to yourself and, you know, and I think I'm turning into a hippie in my old age, and then I see something like Toe, and I'm like, oh, the world is actually fueled by demonic hate demons. Okay, good.
We'll get to that in a moment, but that is part of our housekeeping. If you're new to the show, which you might be, because we have a very exciting collaboration coming up, which we are recording tomorrow with Ace and Caitlin of the inimitable... fabulous podcast, Sister Wives, : Love Should Be Multiplied, Not Divided.
Now, when you say, when you say inimitable, that doesn't mean that you and I don't take most of their tropes. And when we're watching Sister Wives, we basically do all of their in-jokes.
It's true.
We are careful not to do any of it when we cover the show ourselves.
Right.
But their in-jokes are primo delicioso and impossible not to imitate.
Yes.
Yeah.
The humor's a little blue.
So blue.
At times.
Yep.
They can pull it off.
Yeah.
Because they're fantastic people. We could never do jokes like that.
So even if you don't listen to or watch Sister Wives or listen to the Fundy Bus or anything like that, do tune in for that one because they're hilarious and we love them.
And hopefully it will be a good combination. Our professor...
Insightful, right.
Our professor of midwifery, Amanda Lifnack-Raydell, will also be joining us for that. We are going to be recapping, I believe it's season 2, episode 7 or 8, Sister Wives in Holiday Crisis. So that's our first bit of holiday cheer.
Is the episode actually called Sister Wives in Holiday? They don't have episode. Yeah, they do have episode titles.
They do.
Is the episode called In Holiday Crisis?
The season numbers and episode numbers are different here in the UK than they are in the US.
Okay.
So I could have that completely wrong.
I'm going to call it What a Snowballs Up. Does that work? No?
Yeah, but that's not really something Americans say.
Ah. Then I'm not.
That's all right. So that's the first bit of holiday delight for you. On our Patreon, you will get, now obviously Plathville is done. We are going to quickly cover the latest episode of Sister Wives at the end of this episode.
Yeah. So no Fundy Bus this week.
No Fundy Bus this week, but we are going...
They're on strike.
The Fundy buses?
Yeah, the entire transport network. It's brutal. It's brutal.
If you join our Patreon this month, patreon.com/blightyday, blighty is spelled B-L-I-G-H-T-Y, then you will get not one, but two, no, not two, but three holiday specials. You'll get the collab with Ace and Caitlin, which everyone's getting. We're not doing that as a Patreon exclusive because it's too good not to share.
Yeah.
If you're on the Patreon, you will get, we are recapping The Holiday, the 2006 film with Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet. They're not doing the recap with us. They're in the movie. I should probably make that clear.
Right.
In case, you know, that would be a pretty big get for us.
Next year.
We are also going to do a random, vaguely British themed or strongly British themed, but I can almost assure you it won't have been filmed in England or had any input from British writers.
Yeah, it's going to be a bunch of people in Vancouver going, oh,
but
and
we're
having
gonna...
romantic comedy sex with each other.
Well, probably not sex because it's Hallmark Christmas movies. They don't really.
Oh, you don't see the director's cuts, I see.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's that. What's that rule? Is it rule number 37? That if there's
somewhere
a
on
that
the internet,
had, somewhere yeah, there's a porno for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's all the housekeeping. So no Fundy Bus going forward. We're also not recapping the Toe reunions. I know we didn't get the Toe finale out on time. I'm sorry about that. There is too much going on. I know you all have too much going on as well. I'm not saying that for sympathy. I'm just, you know, offering an explanation.
Now, we did think about doing the reunions and we did watch, but toxicity can only go so far, right?
Yeah. Look, I'm doing some serious trauma work in therapy, and I just...
It's a lot.
I don't know why. I don't know why I take it so personally or why something, it bothers me so much.
It's something... It's just the reunions. And I mean, look, I'll just say it really quickly now. They never used to be this way, but they are now, like, the worst bits of Springer.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
I kind of expect a sort of a burly bald guy to run onto the set every once in a while and pull people apart. It's... I don't know. I don't know if that's what they're going for. This new thing of inviting kind of vintage people who've got no fucking perspective whatsoever. Like, thanks, irrelevant. Like, there is no reason for you to chip in and die with your stupid opinions here. They're not welcome, you know, in any way whatsoever.
Actually, it's your favorite, Tiam, who has the worst takes, in my opinion.
Tiam has some seriously misogynistic takes, I've noticed.
Yeah,
and yeah. I could live without him.
I think that's.
Now I'm excited. I will to say I'm excited for Single Life.
Yeah, me too.
Super excited. I'm not saying that everyone that's been on the show before can bugger off. It's just like I really don't need this fake drama and fake conflict. Like people going in, like you know, the interviews in the cabs on the way, going, yeah, I'm really gonna bring it. It's like, oh, gross.
No, I really don't need to hear these other former cast members or current, you know, franchise members. I
don't know. I need to know what they all think of each other. That's my job. And I do it better than you. Okay. Thanks.
But they already have a whole show devoted to that called Pillow Talk. What I'm saying is they don't need to be, which I've never watched, but I understand some people enjoy and that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't need them to be in dialogue with each other.
But it's not dialogue. It's fake conflict. That's the thing. I mean, if they genuinely had insightful things to say, then it would be a fairly dull podcast, right? Because they can't make any like good fun dick jokes. But without any of that, it's just nasty.
Absolutely. It just feels so overtly personal and mm-hmm. pointed mm-hmm. and nasty. And there's something about this cast, too, that just has so many broken birds.
Yeah.
And when you see them attack each other, it's like when it's like I've never seen this happen, but I'm told that hamsters eat their babies.
Oh.
I just don't want to
see someone eating holly. Right?
I don't think it's a level playing field.
Yeah, it's not fun.
And it's not fun when people are sort of, well.
Anyway, we're not covering it.
Yeah. There we were, just doing it. What are we talking about now?
We are talking about the very, very latest episode of 90 Day Fiancé, season 10, episode 10, For Better or For Worse. I'm just warning you now, when they get to Till Death Us Do Part, and they call it Till Death Do Us Part, or the other way around. I can't even remember which one's right now. God damn it. I get cross whenever people get it wrong. And now I can't remember. But I'll get cross now.
I'm sure they're both right.
When, no, they're
what
not.
What if that happened?
What, for them both to be right?
Yeah, what if they were both right?
No, it's one way or the other. It's Till Death Us Do Part.
This is the most...
It annoys me.
It's the stupidest hill to die on. Who cares?
Ah, me.
All right. Who do you want to talk about first?
You choose. Dealer's choice.
Ugh. Okay. So I had hoped that we were done with Nob and Sophie. I hoped that we were done with them three episodes ago, and yet they persist.
Yeah. So in the Living Dead movies, like Night of the Living Dead and all those, you know, there's classic, it was Romero did the Living Deads, right? I always confuse it with Evil Dead. But yeah, yeah. You know how, like, over the course of the films, like, the zombies do start to learn? You know, they start to sort of have residual memories. Some of them, like, by the latter films, they're actually sort of working, and they're, like, constructed zombie members of society.
Yeah, because it's a metaphor for late-stage capitalism.
These are zombies that every single time you think they're dead, they come back. And unlike those films, they're not learning. They are still just staggering around going... Ring, ring. And yeah, it's pretty dismal.
It is. I'm really uncomfortable talking about another person's sexuality, especially when it's played out in this way.
I bite.
So basically the... The fear for Rob, in his own words, is that in 5 to 10 years, she's going to, quote, pop up and fuck some woman.
Right. That's unquote. How it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
is that what pop-up stores are? I should visit pop-up stores more.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
Okay.
I don't know. I might be one of the... only remaining non-sexually fluid in the world. And that's not, you know, a point of pride for me. But I don't see how it stands to reason that being bisexual would make you more likely to cheat on someone.
No, in the same way that if you're heterosexual, you're not going to want to sleep with other men. And she makes this... very point. Now, he goes for the tried and tested hateful perspective that you find, you know, people that are prejudiced and misogynistic will always say, which is, oh, you're abandoning the chance to explore something. You're going to want to explore it. You're denying a part of you. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. It can work that way. But if it was going to work that way, she'd be asking for an open relationship. Now, The only problem with this is, I think she is.
I would be asking for that too at 23 years old.
But this is the whole thing. This is why they shouldn't be getting married regardless, whether or not she's fucked a woman. That's the thing. She is not ready to tie her life down to this guy. And I think the bisexuality thing, in some ways, even if it's like, subconscious is like an escape parachute from Rob the Knob.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's being candid about it. And so inevitably, because she's not candid about it, he goes to the place we knew he would get. Like, of all the possible ways to receive that news, there was only ever going to be one outcome for this dickhead, right?
Yeah.
He was always going to go there. And then the hilarious, well, if you get to fuck another woman, I get to fuck her too. Because again, that's all he wants.
Oh, I hadn't realized it was the same woman.
Yeah.
I thought it was just... So this other...
Yeah, there's ways of angling for a threesome, dude, and aggressively sulking probably isn't it.
I still, and I'm sorry, y'all, to hammer the same points again and again. I don't understand why they're together in the first place. I don't see any affection between them. I don't even see codependency, like an unhealthy attachment or a neediness between them.
No, I feel I just that see each two of them would be super miserable. Happy, yeah, like to be in different places. I feel they're only on camera together when they have to film. There's nothing. I don't even see sexual chemistry.
No, none at all.
Nothing.
Well, the only time that they've done it that we know of, she was asleep.
So are we going to get to the big scene?
What did you think about, excuse me, sorry. What did you think about the argument that she shouldn't be jealous because apparently she's secretly been looking at women this whole time with lust on her mind?
Yeah, she hasn't been receiving, like, I was going to say dick pics. What's the female equivalent of a dick pic?
A tit pic? I don't know.
Tit pic? Yeah. As far as we know, she's not been getting tit pics, right?
Yeah.
But I do think it calls into question the whole Bumble friendship app thing, possibly. But again, I'm not going to criticize her. She has no interest in this relationship, and it's all bullshit.
You know who else doesn't have any interest in this relationship is the jeweler who...
Here we go.
...is an oily... man.
I never thought I'd feel bad for one of those guys.
I know.
It was like the worst sequel to Uncut Gems I have ever seen in my life.
Man, this is...
The Safdies could not have written a more tense, unpleasant scene than that.
Well, you know, I salivated over Adam Sandler in that movie, but yeah, that's my own trauma,
right?
That I need to.
You like a paunchy middle-aged Jew? What are you gonna do?
I know.
What
right?
are you gonna do? Yeah.
Anyway, Knob says the words that every bride to be wants to hear.
Yeah.
I need you to show me your cheapest rings.
Yeah. This whore needs a ring. It's, oh,
God.
Again, it's so unbearable. I can't believe it's not scripted in some way. And I can't believe that she comes back from it with her stupid, inane, fucking fluffy grin at the end. Oh, it's pretty though. I'm so happy. I love you. Because no human being can be put through that and come out at the end of that scene in a good place.
But Robin, what you don't understand yet is that they're in love, and this one time he took her to an Airbnb where they filmed Bang Bus, so it's okay. I think I made that joke last time.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking of the Fundy Bang Bus.
Ugh.
Patreon After Dark, come on, we can do this.
Gross.
Yeah, like, it was so intense. Everything he said, like, it was like a minute of, like, diatribe against her, like him broing it up with this fucking oily sales
who
guy.
In fairness to him, was just confused by the whole thing. I think
he was like, oh my god, look, I guess I'm making $200 today, so let's do this, you know.
Ugh, what a nightmare.
This one's made of cabbage.
Just get it out of a gumball machine or something, if you care that little about it.
Yeah, use a ring pull from a vintage Coke can. That's more romantic, right?
I dread to think what his idea of romance is. Fucking gas station flowers.
at best.
Ugh.
A little dance. That's his idea of romance, was that fucking dance.
That was not a dance.
Right? That dance was the equivalent of this ring. It was a cabbage dance and a cabbage ring. What is the worst thing to have a wedding ring made out of? Because they went past all the metals, right? I think they just moved on to like the sort of like polystyrene, didn't they, by the end of it? Or like the sort of foam that you get in packaging from Chinese goods.
No, I think the worst thing is like when I was little, I got it was kind of like a metal fitting off of a pipe because my
okay,
my parents' house was being built.
The ratchet ones.
Yeah, and I put it on my finger.
Ratchet.
And it got stuck.
Nasty.
And it had to be cut off by a jeweler with like special scissors because I could not get this thing off. And of course, it had turned my skin green.
Of course it had.
So yeah, something like that. But look, nothing.
If it had had a rubber bulb on the end of it that you fill with water to squirt someone in the eye, that would have been a better ring.
I just want to move on before I get angry.
There's nowhere to go. Horrible, horrible. But cruelty on both sides for entertainment.
Not interested.
Not what I'm here for.
And I used to have some sympathy for her because she's so young. That sympathy is waning pretty fast because this is just, it's just feeling so inauthentic and so,
what this is, I've been waiting all season for the mum to turn up and give it the full fucking dragon, right?
She'll show up.
I know, but they're stretching it out. What this is like watching Jaws, where like endless teens are having their legs bit off, but Roy Scheider's got no intention of getting in a boat and doing anything about it, right? So every week we're just watching more and more mutilation with no sense that anyone's going to do anything about this fucking shark. And I'm not sure that's a good movie.
And neither of them...
It's torture porn. That's what this is, 90-day torture porn.
What I think is the critical difference here between couples who fight with each other that are fun to watch.
Jasmine and Gino,
mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Among them. Mm-hmm. Jasmine and Gino actually love each other.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's just one thing. But also, nobody else takes themselves this fucking seriously.
Well, except
these
Bilal.
Two have
this
no
is like two
sense
Bilals.
Of humor. Oh my god!
Right?
Yeah.
There have been people like this who clearly don't have any real love. You know, we've seen it before and we've disliked it before.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so speaking of Gino and Jasmine, she is folding clothes and he asks her what she's doing and she says, "I'm cooking. Can't you see?"
I mean, that is taking veganism to extremes.
She is still mad about him going to a strip club and not telling her. I'm sorry, I'm on her side.
I'm on her side with the not telling her bit. I just wish she hadn't. She didn't need to. It didn't help her argument to do the, what were the specifics of what happened? You know, did they do a blowjob on you? You know, because that wasn't the point. Like cousin Dana says, Dana. Yeah. It's really not about that. It's the fact that you kept it a secret. And if Jasmine, in her confrontation with Gino, she just focused on that, I would have been 100% on her side. As it was, 90%.
Do you think the poop in the toilet that he left for her arrival was really his?
Are you suggesting it was a stitch-up? Where does this come from?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, she said it makes her question everything.
Oh, right.
And you said at the time that you wondered whether, if he is such a liar, did he leave that log?
Are you saying it was a frogger? Or a logger, as we call them? We've had a logger in our house, people. Are you familiar with froggers?
It's spelled with a PH.
Can you recommend the podcast which covers froggers brilliantly?
Yes. It was, I think they did it over the summer. It was Date with Dateline, another fantastic podcast. They did an episode on frogging, which is basically where somebody lives in your house. Don't get scared if you're alone. And, you know, hides in the cupboard under the stairs or whatever. And
yeah, it comes unbeknownst to you, they're living in your house.
Yeah.
And this is a real thing. So frogging is a real thing. We think we've got a logger.
We think we have a poop frogger.
We have phantom poos that turn up in our toilet. And every one of us can provide compelling reasons why it's not them. Reasons like, I haven't pooed. That's a good reason, right? So, like, where is it? It reminds me a little bit of at our school. I may have told this story. We have the phantom bricklayer. Who, this is gross, by the way. Anyone that doesn't like poo stories, skip forward a minute. So one day, we'll go into the school lunch hall. It's quite a big school, so, you know, lots and lots of tables. And there was a plate on in every seating position, by every chair, along these tables, row after row after row of plates. And on each one of these plates was a poo-poo left by the phantom bricklayer. And the great mystery of the phantom bricklayer is, where did he get all the poo-poos? Like,
that's,
I'm not talking...
disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's also the most Dada art statement I think I've ever encountered in my entire life. It was full on. But, like, he must have been storing up these poos for months. This is not
gross.
A sheet of the moment crime. This was premeditated. I used to live in Camden in London, and along the street where we lived, there would this guy would I'm sure I've told this. He put forks in all the dog tods, which was, you know, some kind of a statement about something. So there you go. There's my disgusting poo story. How on earth did I get onto that? Gino's toilet. So look, it's entirely possible that Gino has a logger. That's all I'm saying.
They later go bowling. Jasmine's not impressed. Now, I'm sure everyone's bored of bowling by now, but I swear these are the only places that will let you film.
Yeah, it's just having done bowling 2 weeks in a row within the same bit of the franchise. It's a lot of bowling.
I know, but again, letting daylight in on magic, and I know I've said this before, but to anyone who hasn't been involved in filming, and Robin, you will know this.
When
you film in a restaurant, 99.9% of the time, you have to turn off the refrigerators. Mm-hmm. You have to turn off anything electronic, basically.
Yeah. The AC's got to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And you have to, whoever is there... It's not the real people having lunch there. It's people who have been hired to come in.
Yeah, pay to eat super quietly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Have wah, 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 wah conversations.
Well, even that is piped in after the fact.
Yeah.
Yes, even with reality TV. So
it's known as Walla.
So to at, pardon?
Walla. W-A-L-L-A-H, background noise, ambient background noise for scenes. So restaurant Walla will be...
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, of course.
Background chitter.
Background chitter.
We can dream.
So, yeah.
Whereas a bowling alley, you kind of want those ambient noises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so nothing's really a problem. You're absolutely right. They also just kind of allow it. It's like it's the opposite of casinos. You can't film in casinos. Filming in casinos is a nightmare because people don't want to be caught on camera and stuff. But no one really minds being caught on camera in a bowling alley because it's so inane and harmless.
Right.
So, yeah, finding places to film is like the hardest part of television. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolute nightmare. Being a location scout is brutal.
And the smaller the town, the worse it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there will, I mean... Not to go off on a tangent, but if you're ever a tourist in London, and you're seeing somebody film, know that it took them forever to get the permits. The permits were canceled the week before.
Yep.
And then someone had...
This is where they originally intended. No one wanted to film in the borough of Lewisham. Okay? They were gunning for Kensington and Chelsea. That's what they were trying to do. But usually... they haven't got the permits and they're just hoping they'll get by, or they're hoping they'll get their next job before this is discovered. There's a lot of permitless.
I wasn't even going to say that. I was working on a set once where, and this was a big production. This was one of the, I think it's on Netflix now. It wasn't then. So I don't know who the studio was because I wasn't hired by the studio, but I was working on, anyway. And the shoot got pushed back 3 weeks, and this channel, this network, is hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
And they had permission to film in central London in all of these locations, and the permits got revoked 3 weeks into shooting. They had to do reshoots. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute nightmare, and people will revoke film permits. So, like, when you see The Crown, just know that the location scouts were in agony trying to get those permits.
Yeah.
That isn't even the story that I was going to tell. I was going to talk about permits. I was going to say, the next time that you are a tourist in our fair city and you see something being filmed, chances are the AD or whoever is on the set will say to you, "We're filming a chewing gum commercial."
Mm-hmm.
That is never... Or a toothpaste commercial. That's the other one they use.
That means it's Tom Cruise.
Yep. They're filming a blockbuster. So, you know, hang around, linger a bit, not within view of security.
Or a supermarket advert. That's what they're.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Tesco ad.
No, it never is.
Anyway, I am 1,000% team Jasmine in regards to the shoes and the stench. That guy. Dude, you're on TV, right? The least you could do is try and squirt some of that disinfectant down the shoe. Not just like a cut. This is how Alfie would do shoes at a bowling alley. It's like, it's lip service to de-stenchifying, right? He just sprays like the heels of about 15 shoes in one swipe. And I wouldn't put my feet in those shoes. And I don't give a shit about that kind of stuff. It was gross.
Yeah, I think if you work in that environment, you go nose blind to it.
Yeah.
That's
how they can serve so much beige food. Because you're not going to smell any of it anyway, right? Gino's so happy. I have a feast.
I have to say, I was really impressed... By the way, now I'm no great fan of the way that Gino has behaved in the past, but the way that he was able to actually sit calmly when Jasmine was distressed.
Yeah.
And to really listen and hear her out and validate her, that's massive progress.
It is. I just wonder if it was only because he had the conversation with Dana. That is the only thing, you know.
This
is what Jasmine
that.
Should actually realize. Like, so far, like, Dana is not a poisonous influence at all. Michelle was not a poisonous influence. These are people who can help her with Gino and Gino's massive flaws, right? They are allies. So instead of her trying to kind of remove them from their lives, she should be embracing this family because they are... fundamentally a little bit more decent than Gino is, apart from a few of them who are clearly racist scumbags.
I don't think they should stay in Michigan, though.
No.
I think seeing... Now, that outfit was nuts, but just seeing the transformation...
I didn't know they made Borat suits for women. That is
Mankinis?
Is new information.
Yeah, that outfit was... It looked very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. And was she wearing that throughout the flight?
I assume so.
Oof.
But like those kind of fabrics and presumably no underwear on a plane? Ugh.
Yeah, gross.
Not having that.
So do we think this bit of Florida was like Panama?
I mean, Miami?
Yeah.
Well, I've only been to Miami, which is very nice. I don't know what part of Miami they were in.
I don't think Gina really splashed out on, you know, this wasn't, what's the big drive, Ocean, is it Ocean Drive?
I don't know what that
where all the expensive hotels and stuff are. This is kind of a suburb of Miami.
I think. Probably.
Like, it was part a hotel and part a multi-story car park. I got the feeling.
You know what, though? I would, given the what the weather has been here, I would do that.
Give me a rooftop and a blue sky. Honestly, a couple of, you know, Fords parking up alongside me is not a problem.
No.
Yeah.
It's bittersweet because it does remind her of Panama. It reminds her how far away they are in Michigan. And it reminds her of Lil Juanse, who misses her, understandably. So, yeah.
And it was nice to see how far Gino's come with his Spanish. I was very encouraged that after all these years, he'd learned so much.
I really think these two are going to make it.
Yeah, me too.
I really do. Yeah. And I think their relationship has changed so much for the better. And I think they are both better people because of this relationship.
No, I agree.
There are so few people that I can say that about.
And I think they're better people for having been filmed.
I agree completely.
And yep. I would not usually say that. I usually think going on these shows is a kiss of fucking death and it turns good people into bad people. KD and Alejandro. But is that okay? You just put
it's
shot.
Just your opinion.
Well, I'm just saying that.
Let's not go any further into that.
Yeah, there's just toxicity, which I don't think would have been there had cameras not been there. I don't know. But in the case, like, Gino has had, like, his reflection held up to him by this. And it's had positive effect, I think.
I agree.
Yeah. And so's Jasmine.
Sam and Citra.
Mm-mm.
Sam is at his brother's house, didn't catch his name.
I always think the best thing to do with someone who's had like lifelong addiction problems is to offer them a beer as soon as they arrive at your house. I think that is healthy and wise.
It isn't, but look, I don't know. People, that felt very judgy, Robin.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. I just think this guy's escaping a lot of things. And my heart bleeds for him is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know if his family or Citra are emotionally or psychologically equipped to support him in his sobriety.
Correct.
His mom doesn't want him to convert to Muslim, by which she means Islam.
Yeah.
She asks about Christmas, and Sam says there's another holiday called Yom Kippur or something.
So he's done some research.
So he's done some research, yeah.
That's good.
He's off by about 45 degrees in the Abrahamic religion.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur is a Jewish holiday, but close enough.
Yeah, you had a 1 in 3 chance. Also, I think of all of the Jewish holidays that you could have as a parallel to
that
Christmas.
That is as far away from, for those of you who don't know, yeah. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. So in our religion, the idea is that you have to ask forgiveness from everyone else before you can ask God for forgiveness. So you make amends, you atone, you sing lots of really sad songs in a minor key, and it's all, you know, you fast, all the rest.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a bleak holiday, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And, it's quite close to New Year, which is, you know, a better time, good times.
It's
not really the kind of the celebration, wonderful things are going to happen, holidays are coming, kind of Christmas.
No, Coca-Cola wasn't inspired by Yom Kippur.
I think that would be fucking awesome. If some big multinational conglomerate, like, co-opted Yom Kippur as their holiday. Like, BP or Shell should do that, like, just to atone for, like, the environmental. Dow Chemical should sponsor Yom Kippur.
They're going to change their logo to the shofar.
Yeah, that would be really good. Like Halliburton. Some really awful, awful company. I'd like to see it.
So Sam is hiding some things because, of course, he is. He got arrested with Suboxone, which is a controlled substance, I gather. I think it's similar to methadone in that it's an opiate for people.
Substitute.
Yeah.
A more controlled, safer, less likely to kill you immediately from an overdose because you bought it, you know, in a back alley.
Right. And we had a little chat about this at the time. I don't know a whole lot about criminal law in the US, but the UK is a common law country, and so is the US, and so is Canada. So I imagine Australia is too. So they're not dissimilar in how their laws go. I only learned about diversion programs from a book that I highly recommend if you're into nonfiction and memoirs called The Many Lives of, I think it's called The Many Lives of Mama Love. So my understanding is that they do offer drug diversion programs as an alternative to prison, but mm-hmm. they are very strict. You have to show up to classes. You have to show up for job training.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. There's rules about who you can associate with and where you can stay and all of that stuff. And Sam evidently missed the deadline and...
Okay, so I need more information. Because I don't know what side to come down on here. Like, is he a fuck up and a flake? Which is fair enough, given what he's been through and his, you know,
his
issues.
Big stretch.
Big stretch from the bulldog. Is it that, or was the system rigged? Because, you know, I'm the only person in the world who listened to season 3 of Serial. I know how the justice system is, you know, works against you here. I've seen David Simon's TV shows. I know this shit, you know. He is, you know, there's a conveyor belt of human meat that is fed to, you know, corporate ends, and he's a victim of that and blah, 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 blah. But this missing the deadline, I just want a little bit more information about how that came about, because it would help me know what I'm dealing with here.
I think that it's avoidance, and I think it's part of a pattern of avoidance. I think it's...
That's certainly one possibility.
I think you don't... Nobody gets out of addiction without replacing it with other things, and I think having that and the combination of working long hours and doing... But I don't know.
We don't know.
This is going to be so difficult. This is going to be such a tough,
and we don't know if it's true. We don't know. We don't know anything. That's all. We don't know. But I'll say this: he continues to have the benefit of my doubt until I directly see otherwise. I think there's something in this guy which is good.
I think there's something in this relationship, and I think that there is genuine love between them. I mean, just judging by their chemistry at the airport and how she talks about him and stuff like that. I did read today on Reddit, the unimpeachable source that it is, that Citra's sister is dating Sam's brother.
Oh.
Or is engaged, even. So that...
The dangerous to know looking guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't... Maybe it's a different brother. Unclear. Mm. The other thing that caught my attention is that Sam says Citra is a germaphobe neat freak, which is something that messy people say about people who don't want to have to live with roach motels and rats.
Yeah. That never goes well in the 90-day universe when people have hygiene differences.
No. And speaking of hygiene differences, let's talk about Clayton and Annalie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, llama technicians aside.
That was a hot llama technician. Is it okay for me to say that?
Yeah.
I just didn't know that that was an industry, which, you know, it just surprised me. You know how there are some jobs when you don't expect the people doing that job necessarily to be attractive?
No, because I don't think that people should be hired based on how attractive they are unless they're a model.
Well, you're entirely right. It was the outfit. As well, I don't know, maybe that pacifies the llamas. I couldn't speak to what the llamas make of that kind of Daisy Dukey
vibe. What are you talking about, Daisy Dukes? She was wearing like full-on overalls. She was basically in a jumpsuit.
Yeah, but it was the openness of the jumpsuit. It was good.
All right, I'm not going to give you a platform to perv on... young women, young okay. Llama technicians who are just trying to do their jobs without you salivating all over them.
I know, it's disgusting.
They get enough of that with the llamas.
Drooling and spitting all over them.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel terrible. I take it back. I respect her, Claire, whatever your name is, I respect your work as a llama technician. I'm just saying.
Anyway, all that llama stuff is cute.
We are pretty big fans of llamas and their cousins, alpacas,
yes,
in this household.
Huge.
Aren't
we? Love
huge.
Them.
We love them.
And then Clayton ruins the moment by saying that the goats attacking him is the most action he's got since she arrived.
Okay. What we have encountered, and we see this later with the gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we're encountering here is the nastiness of like, it's full-on incel aggression.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've ever had that on this show before. We had a... Oh, my goodness. The dogs agree. There was a little bit... Mike was a little bit like that. You remember the little guy who ran across the road going...
Yes.
He had the same kind of vibe. He was on his computer all the time, although he was working, not playing video games. But the same kind of guy who was with someone who was, you know, I don't want to objectify. I've already done that to llama technicians. I'm retrospectively feeling terrible about that. But, you know, a guy who's punching, right? And is using that kind of white Western privilege in that way. That's what this is. And it's real, real ugly.
It is ugly, and I think that it's very clear to me that somebody, when you meet someone on vacation, basically, or, you know, if they had chemistry before, which they seem to, I'm guessing they've slept together at least once, maybe when he was in Parral.
Yeah. That seems to be what he's saying.
Right. I don't blame her because...
No, you saw
I'm
him in
sorry.
A totally different context.
Yeah, but also, who wants to fuck a... Like, mom right. in the closet aside.
Yeah.
Guinea pig smell aside.
Yeah. Who, crazed chihuahuas aside. I mean, to be fair, that wouldn't put most people off. Those chihuahuas are the bomb.
Right. But housing situation aside, who wants to fuck... A man whose only face-to-face interaction with you...
Or anyone,
really, is guilting you and demanding that you have sex with him.
It's super gross.
And this isn't a judgment about how he does or doesn't socialize. I think...
No, the same thing applies with Igor. you know, not wanting to fight Nikki. And again, there's other reasons. But humiliating someone for not putting out, it's not going to accelerate the putting out.
And it's also, it's never okay.
No.
But when she talks about being concerned about these aspects of his life, I imagine that there are probably some neurodivergent people who are like, who can relate to the way that he lives and find socializing in person very difficult. And I'm not saying that that's what he is or what he has. I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if it turned out that way.
And I completely understand that. And to a degree, I'm sympathetic in that regard. But also, he's not dealing with this in any way. He's not thinking about it. He's not conscious of it. Everyone's just expected to be grateful for what they get from him, which is fuck all.
I know. And his mom made him that way.
His mom
and
did.
His sister made him that way too. Yeah. Yeah. To think that him, that's why, y'all, that's why he has baby soft hands.
Yeah.
That like a velveteen, horrible, no, not even velveteen. Like just imagine the softest baby's head you've ever touched, but imagine it's on like
man's
a sort of gropey, sweaty, yeah. cold, clammy man's hand. It's not hot. You don't want those hands on your body.
No, this is, you know, someone's put the lotion on the skin. You don't want that, you know, you don't want that person coming on to you. That
no,
is not the
and
point
I don't, and look,
the skin suit.
He needs to take an interest in her and her desires and her thoughts and feelings and what she wants, what's important to her and what she wants out of life.
She's an outdoorsy kind of gal.
And if they're a mismatch there, it doesn't matter how many thoughtful activities he plans for them. What relationships are about the day to day. It's not the every 3 weeks when you plan a day out. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
And she's not liking the look of that day to day. And I wouldn't either.
No, that day to day is shit.
That day to day is.
That day to day is what various women have experienced in like India on this show. Do you know what I mean? You just sit around the house.
You sit around and
doing chores, having to deal with a parent who's kind of hard work.
And has. Look, his mother's mentally ill, clearly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's unpleasant. And then you get to the end of the day and it's not, how are you? It's, why aren't you fucking me?
Right.
Ugh.
Right. And he's been absenting himself all this time playing games. It's not like he's even working. And look, I'm not coming in for like people that play games. I get it and stuff. But what you want to do is when you have your hobby time, you want to make sure the other person has their hobby time.
I'll tell you what isn't a hobby.
Mm.
Cleaning out boats. Cleaning out other people's boats.
No, but that was a power move. That was a little bit like, and I've got to get it right. Who was the guy that took the guy onto the bridge?
Oh, sure. The guy who...
That was Darcy's dad with...
Georgie?
Darcy and Stacey's dad with Georgie. Do you remember? When he took Georgie onto the bridge and had that confrontation, which was a kind of...
Oh, yeah.
It was very Pine Barrens. It's like, many men have not come back from this bridge, you know? It was a bit like that. It's like, you are beneath me, boy. You are going to clean my boat. Now that I say boy in that way, I am aware of slightly worrying interpretations of that scene as well. And I suspect that Nick was also aware of them.
I think he was too.
I think his laughter was a nervous laughter that's a cultural thing. It isn't, he's not mocking.
I
not
agree
taking
completely.
It seriously.
I
confrontation
don't think
is a real challenge
to
some cultures. Yeah.
Yeah. And also it's, I hated that whole scene. I didn't think it was necessary to happen in that way.
I always feel that this kind of dadding that you see on TV, and I'm sure happens in real life, this kind of, we're going to have a man-to-man talk, you're going to audition to be with my daughter, kind of, I expect you to take care of her. These kind of conversations, you see them in movies and TV all the time, and I'm sure it happens in real life. But that kind of dadding is the sort of dadding you do when you haven't done actual dadding. right? It's just, it's showing up and doing the obvious stuff, this kind of machismo stuff, because you haven't really put the hours in as a proper parent, I always think. I will, you know, I don't have a daughter. Should I ever have a daughter and she brings a boy or a girl home, they're not going to be grilled like that. That is not going to be my style at all. I think you do that to compensate for not being a good parent. I'm just saying.
I mean, I would absolutely do that, but not in that way.
Yeah, okay.
But that's sort of my role, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's who I am, but not to compensate for being a bad parent. I'm discerning, and no one else has the energy or the discipline to be in this house. So anyway,
I don't think it's ever called for to be kind of that aggressive and
cross-examining. I'm joking. Yeah, yeah. I would never treat anybody like that. And no, I think, you know,
it's just the person, whether it's a good match or not, at that time, your child thinks at least that they love this person. You want to actually get to know them for who they are. If you start off like this, they're only ever going to show you one side of them, right? They're going to kiss your ass at best, right? Or they're going to fight back against it, but you're not going to see the real them. So you're never going to find out if this person is good for your child by acting like that. You're avoiding the kind of discovery you're claiming to be seeking.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to put people at ease to get them to show you who they are.
Yeah, totally. Like, there's no way in the world that your dad wasn't looking out for you,
yeah,
right? He was never once rude or aggressive to me. He, from day one, he embraced me. Like, even when he didn't know me, he trusted you and wanted me to be the person you thought I was, and allowed me to show him that I am that person, right? And so we got to know each other that way. If he'd come at me in that kind of,
you know, never would.
No,
he wouldn't do that.
Faux dadding way. We would never have got to know each other.
So the highlight of the episode, or the low light of the episode, again, it's not for me to diagnose, but Devin might be family.
Yeah, Devin might be family.
Devin might be, you know, at least struggling with some sensory processing sensitivities here. She has ordered a custom Hanbok Korean wedding garment, but she doesn't like the gold.
Doesn't like the gold.
Even though the gold, in my opinion, looks very nice.
Actually worked really well with her eyes, her skin tone, her hair color, with the rest of the outfit, and not very much gold. It was cool. I liked it.
She didn't like it.
But that's okay. She's allowed not to like it.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but her mom has an interesting way of... Now, look, every parent has their own way of managing their child, and obviously this worked for them, and I don't have a right to judge, but I do have a podcast on during which I judge people. So yeah. I don't know if this is the best way to handle someone having a meltdown.
Shame and guilt generally do not dilute meltdowns.
No, but that meltdown was going to happen before they even got there, because she didn't want to go to the... And for all of my ND bays out there who deal with pathological demand avoidance, PDA, the not fun kind, you know what I mean. You cannot force someone to do something if they don't want to do it. So that
And I'm just surprised that her mom didn't know this.
I know.
By now.
I know,
like,
right?
I've learned ways of handling... Handling's such a bad word. It's not about handling. But yeah, I read the signs. I know there are good times to ask things, bad times to ask things. I know that sometimes what might from other people seem like a first answer and they could be taught round to seeing things differently, for you is a final answer. And I've learned all that in just a few years. I would have thought that that Devin's mum would have been able to read her room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little bit funny though.
What, the meltdown?
just the contrast between the shop girl who's like, I think she's kind of crying.
Maybe I think she might be like smashing up the light fixtures.
Yeah, and poor
she's burst out of that dress and turned
poor
green.
Poor Devin is fully hulking out.
Yeah,
which is you know. Been there, all right? I have been there. No, it's more like, Mama, I hate it.
Yeah.
It's, yes.
Yeah.
God, been there.
I felt for her. I continue to like them both very much.
I like them too. Yeah. I wish them the best. Now.
But she looked lovely in that dress. She looked fine in everything. She's a nice girl.
Now, I've got one question for you. Can we, this couple, drop in the garbage?
What, the next one?
Yes.
The one we haven't done yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, why, again, zombie couple, not learning. at this point, you remember the show Wife Swap?
Oh, I loved Wife Swap.
I loved Wife Swap.
Yeah.
I think at this point in a season...
Bacon is good for me.
At this point in a season, I think it is entirely reasonable for the producers to go, these relationships are unwatchable at this point. Let's just swap it around.
Yeah, I hate this.
Right? I would be happy at this stage to see Igor and Sophie. I think that could work.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. And I would be happy at this point to have someone with the I don't give a fuck, I'll stand up to you and be an asshole to you if you're being an asshole to me, of Rob with Nikki, I think could actually make at least good television. So that's my advice for the producers. Just
I don't
shuffle the pack.
I don't know if she would go for that apartment, though, or doing everything on the cheap. But,
no. But give me that, at least. If these people have to stay on my screen, shuffle the pack.
And on that note, thank you all so much.
We are going to very quickly have a little chit-chat about Sister Wives, are we not?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because we ain't doing that because the Fundy Bus is on strike. It's a nightmare. We tried to bring scabs in to the bus depot. We've got, you know, the National Guard are there. They're threatening to shoot the Fundy Bus drivers and everything. But, you know, these people have families. So, you know, we've asked them to stand down. This is a Gilded Age reference. You'll watch the Gilded Age. You need to watch the Gilded Age. But while the Fundy Bus is on strike, this is essentially the scab process that we're going through, right? We're still covering Sister Wives.
Yeah.
We're just bringing in other people, which is the same people.
Yeah. So, see ya if you don't watch Sister Wives. And if you do... you know, grab yourself a snack, hit pause, do what you need to do.
Grab yourself one of Mary's giant pots of pasta.
Those were Robin's.
Well, we've been watching season two. We've been dipping back. You remember when Mary, when Robin came along to tell her about the pregnancy, and Mary had made enough pasta. Like, Mary had...
I'm not going to argue with you about this. That was a different scene, and Robin had made that pasta.
It was at Mary's house, and I'm sticking to my guns. It was definitely Mary. We saw her cooking. Or Janelle. Janelle with her ginormous tray bakes, right? Grab yourself one of those.
Yeah.
Grab yourself some Mexican food from...
All right. Can we talk about the show?
Yes.
And stop vamping. Just a little bit. Can you all tell that my blood sugar's dropping and I'm getting hungry and I want my dinner?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will try not to Devin out on you all.
That light fixture is pretty high. I reckon it's okay.
So, I don't understand. I'm open to hearing why people don't like Sukanya.
Right.
Because I think she's doing a terrific job.
There are not many people in tell-alls or one-on-ones or reunions where we hit pause, shout at the TV for a minute, which is how we watch TV, mm-hmm. right? We do have a strict pause before opining policy in this house. It is not always adhered to. But then I get grumpy and everyone goes, oh God, yeah, we did agree to that. And I always win. But usually we will pause. We will say, ask this, fucking just ask this question. This is what you, and then she does. Right? So Kanya does that. She does what I want her to do. I have no beef with her at all. I think she's good.
I do too.
And while having to manage some really difficult people.
I think she shows an emotional intelligence and an insight. And I think she's, what you have to consider is that if you're somebody, the qualities that you want in a host is, in a TV host of any kind or interviewer of any kind, is strength and warmth.
Right.
And all of the greats have that combination of strength and warmth. There's, so, except for maybe Larry King,
right,
didn't have the warmth.
I was going to say, or in this country, Jeremy Paxman. You can get away without the warmth.
Yeah.
You can. There are,
well,
ways
not if you're a woman, because
no.
Misogyny and all that.
Right.
But she has to put these people at ease.
She does.
Before they will open up to her, because otherwise they will shut down.
She's working for three people, or three groups of people. She is working for the audience. She is working for the producers and the show and the network. And she's working for the Browns.
Right? Yep.
And she's got to keep all of those happy, right? So if you're coming at her for not keeping one bit of that triangle happy, understand that she is mollifying, pacifying, catering for the other two sides so that your side, the audience side, can get what it wants a little bit later down the line, right? It's a bit of a tap dance that she has to do. But in any given moment, no, she's not going to give everything to everyone.
Who do you think made the least sense in this particular episode? We're talking about part three of the reunion.
Mary.
Yeah, same.
Mary's a fucking joke. Mary's been exposed. She was exposed last week, was it? When the Christine melting the ring,
mm-hmm.
All of that stuff. Mary has tried to have this narrative that no one ever told her Cody wasn't that into her, right? And then it comes out that Cody did exactly that around the time that he was courting Robyn. He melted down Mary's ring and said, I don't want you to have a hold over me. That is,
I don't want you to have a claim on me. Yeah.
That, what more do you need? That is him saying clear as fucking day. All right. And Cody is weirdly not a man that goes seeking confrontation. Like, Cody will abide. He said this himself many times. He will, you know, go along to get along. He will abide. He will pay lip service. He will perform the functions, all of that stuff. But he told you, Mary. You cannot say he never did. And that's why she was so furious that Christine had ruined her PR blitz,
yep,
of being the wronged woman. You're not a wronged woman. You were cucked. You knew you were being cucked. You're embarrassed now that the whole world has seen that you were cucked. It's that simple.
I don't even think that, well, yeah, she was cucked, I guess, if I understand your use of that term correctly.
But that, but I'm saying that's how she now feels. But she, no, you're right. She wasn't, because he told her that he's not into her, right?
Well, it isn't just that. It's, look, everybody gets to define within their own relationship. And it's helpful if you have a common understanding of what cheating is or what an affair is.
Mm.
And I think she has said previously, time and again, like, oh, I never met this person. I never slept with this person. I never blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you, this we is all what Rob know. The Knob says.
It's out there.
Isn't it? It's what, yeah, Rob the Knob says.
But it's out there, Mary. You can't deny what's already out there.
A banana did not fillet itself.
No, and you can't keep moving the goalpost, right? First it was, well, he should have been honest with me about how he was feeling and not just said it on television. Okay, but he was, and he did. Yeah, but he didn't say
it. We all remember the Rice
Krispie
treat scene where he said it pretty fucking clearly then, you know? How many times do you need to be told?
Well, apparently it has to be, you know, at this stage, it's like, well, he didn't actually say the words. Yes, he did. Well, he didn't say it to me. Yes, he did. Well, he said it on camera, so that doesn't count. Okay, he said it to you privately. Well, that doesn't matter because he didn't say it in front of Rob Ein. Well, now he said it in front of Rob Ein.
Yeah.
Well, I need a notarized letter. Yeah.
This needs to be signed in triplicate and filed down the back of a filing cabinet where there's a panther guarding it. It has to happen on a Tuesday in Madagascar. It's like, what conditions?
Yeah, otherwise I can't. I'm sorry. I can't recognize it.
I'm so sorry. You haven't filed this document in an appropriate way.
I don't know what more you need. A forehead tattoo?
This is red tape gone mad with Mary, right? Mad.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It's so fucking embarrassing.
And watching her try and reclaim the past and repaint it in this way, it's just bullshit. And she did have an affair and she did cheat on him in every way that Cody, who defined loyalty as the only thing that matters to him. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but you know that to be the case with Cody, right? You know that having an online relationship with someone who you planned to run off with, right? As far as we know, but we don't know if these texts are real or fake. You know that Cody is just going to, you are dead to him after that.
I also, this is going to be very controversial, okay? I accept that Cody is a narcissist. I accept that he is the bad actor in many, if not all, of the fights that he's been involved in. And I'm going to get flack from people who don't take astrology seriously, but Cody is an archetypical Capricorn in that he identifies so strongly with the image that he the image of himself that he puts out into the world. There's no difference to him between the public image and the private image. Cody is also not someone who lies. Now, is his version of the truth correct?
No.
He, like any narcissist, he believes his delusions. But that means that you can catch him out in a lie very easily because he's terrible at lying.
But he doesn't even try.
I know.
That's the thing. He doesn't try.
That's what makes him great TV.
You take Cody at his word. Whereas what Mary has done time and time again is she's heard him say, not into you, never going to happen. And she thinks he's lying. She thinks he secretly loves her.
Well,
which is insane.
He did point something out in it that was interesting, right? The confusion. I don't believe that there is actual confusion here because no. I wouldn't take anything Robin Brown says seriously. I wouldn't even take it with half of a 1/8 of a inch of a grain of salt. Okay.
That's a big grain of salt.
I know. I just.
That's a giant. That's a big old crystal. All
my
right,
brain's
on.
Getting really sticky.
That's okay.
I don't believe for a second that Mary was confused between what Robin was saying and what Cody was saying. Because they were saying two different things, right? And Cody admitted that.
I think Mary knew all along that Robin was not speaking with authority when she was saying all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
I do too.
She knew what Cody thought. She was hearing Robin say this, but what Mary should have said to Robin years ago is, okay, that's your fantasy, but it's not the reality. But Mary has happily been sold this fantasy because it's convenient for her. Like she was sold the fantasy by the catfisher, right? That's just who yeah. Mary is. Mary wants to live in a dreamland where she can make up a better future for herself. So she was listening to Robin. Robin definitely did her dirty by leading her on that way. For sure.
I think it's unforgivable. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Rob Ein is a trustworthy person. And I...
But Rob Ein has done that in spite of Cody asking her not to. is really important. Cody knows that she's been doing it and has said to her, this is cruel, this is stupid. Can you stop selling this woman a dream? Right? And Rabine has resisted that. So
next week we get to meet David Woolley.
Yeah.
Now you didn't...
Peter... I can't think of a good rhyme for Gabriel. He looks like Peter Gabriel looks now, right?
He does a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. What was that mockumentary which was based on Peter Gabriel? It was a few years ago. Do you remember? There's a British mockumentary. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. There was a guy playing a Gabriel kind of character. I'm going to look this up and come back to you all at some point in the future. It's very good.
That sounds incredible. Why would I not have seen that?
I'm going to look it up. It was extraordinarily funny.
Let's get back to Christine. So you were unmoved by Christine's retelling of the courtship with David Woolley.
It made me wince. Look, I loved the first episode of last season, was it? Where, you know, those incredible bottle episodes where Christine and Cody have it out. And Christine is a fucking queen. I really looked up to her. I thought, you are amazing. I don't particularly like what she's become since then, I have to say. The nastiness and the spite and the getting involved in other people's shit, I don't think it's very healthy. But what I see now with Christine is a victim. It's a poor girl who was sold a lie, I think, right at the beginning, probably. You know, she should have listened to Cody when he told her about the Nacho thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, once again, Cody has always said this stuff. He's like, I was never attracted to you, but, you know, she stuck around. You know, she should have just fucking walked then. But what I'm seeing now is a girl that never, ever got to have a childhood, and never got to have a teenagehood, and never got to have a young adulthood. She never got to have any of those things. She doesn't know how love works. She doesn't know how relationships work. And on the first day of getting on an app, some guy bats his eyes at you and you're like, I've met my soulmate. If she was a 13-year-old girl, right, her parents would go, this is adorable, we'll let it play out, right? This is like a first love. This is a crush, because she's never had it. It's just every alarm bell went off when she was telling this story. Like, sleep around for a bit, girl. Come on. Look at some of the options. The first guy that came along.
I don't.
Maybe it is a beautiful fairy tale. But.
Look, Christine is a Disney sexual. We know this.
Yeah.
Christine's idea of romantic love is highly influenced by unrealistic ideals. Okay, I accept that. But I felt all those things about you the first time I met you.
But
and
you
I
had relationships. I was not the first guy who ever said something nice to you.
But
because look at the first guy who ever said anything nice to you, right? Okay.
But you could have been, you know, like I don't know when I would have.
I know.
You know, like, I don't think you choose.
You're right. What do you do if your perfect person comes along first? It's a good subject for a movie or something. It really is, right? What do you do? Because the whole world is telling you, you don't have enough experience to discern. And she doesn't. Christine doesn't have enough experience to discern. But what if he is all of those things?
That's the thing. We don't know.
I think
Christine is somebody who needs to be in a relationship in order to feel fulfilled.
It's true. And she can't half be in a relationship either. So she has to be all in. I'm just saying, she's going to get hurt again. I'm sure of it.
God, you're so grumpy.
No.
I mean, not grumpy, but it's like so bleak.
Yeah, it is bleak.
Can we at least just agree that Janelle is our favorite?
Janelle's massively my favorite. Janelle's looking good. She's talking good. I suspect she's working, which is always good for Janelle, you know? Yeah, she's got her shit together. Like when Mary's like, she's I will be heard. I'm a single woman, all this stuff. You don't believe any of it, right?
No, it's so hollow and fake.
You know?
That's the problem. Mary's trying to reposition herself as like an Elizabeth Gilbert or like a Brené Brown or like some kind of motivational Mel Robbins, like some kind of motivational
Captain Sandy
guru. Yeah, exactly. But
yeah, those real inspirational people of our age.
But she has none of the credentials and none of the life experience to back it up. She just doesn't.
Mary's life experience is she failed and removed herself from the picture so no one would call her on her failure. And that is not a lot of experience.
Wow.
Soz. But a lot of love for Janelle, some love for Christine, but I think this is awful for her. Rabine, I really enjoy it when she starts talking about how she's got problems with Cody. That thrills me. But then Cody, oh man, this show's got to keep going because, and again, some of y'all will really hate this, I'm terribly fond of Cody. I'm terribly fond of him. And I want him to be on my TV forever, even though he's horrible.
I just, do I agree with his views or beliefs? Absolutely not. I think he's loathsome.
Yeah.
I think he's totally self-absorbed. I think the way that he treats and speaks about his children is mm-hmm, disgraceful. Mm-hmm. I think the way he speaks about his wives / ex-wives is appalling. But I want that Michael Scott factor of he can't help himself and just says whatever comes into his head.
And the one redeeming quality I think Cody has, which gives him the Michael Scott factor, is a great analog, actually.
Is that he's desperate to be loved.
Yes, and that he also hates himself. So what I thought originally when I first encountered Cody is this is a man who believes his own shit and that shit doesn't smell, right? But actually, you see it here. Like, when Cody says, I was in a dark place, I was an asshole, I caused all the shit.
Yeah.
This isn't... You know how some men say this stuff like these faux apologies so that no one will cross-examine them any further? Nah, I truly believe that Cody has spent many long dark nights of the soul looking at himself in the mirror and going, you piece of shit.
He's so, Kendall Roy.
He's Kendall Roy. He's a Capricorn king.
Yeah. Look at this little footsie-wootsie.
I know, they're babies. Right, we're all going to have ourselves some food. We love you all. Thank you for sticking around and being scabs with us. You know, screw the unions, right? No, don't. We love unions. Thank you so much. We will be back very soon. Lots of good fun stuff coming up. Stay around for that collab. Join the Patreon for all the holiday fun. Patreon.com/blightyday.
See you soon.
See ya soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.